Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Ask LLC podcast. My name is Harrison. It is great to be with you here today.
Hey, this is Mike Moses, lead and founding pastor of Lake Forest Church Huntersville. We're glad you're with us in this episode. In this episode, we are going to just pull back the curtains a little bit on some changes that have happened in our staffing and foci. There's your vocabulary word for the day, Harrison. Foci that is allowing for growth in our congregation and at the staff level.
Fantastic. And it all begins. We have added two key staff that I hope all of you guys have gotten to know over the past handful of months. If you're around Lake Forest Church at all, we have Scott Mattson, who is absolutely taken over. Scott was apparently born and crafted and grown out of the ground with a passion for seeing people grow in their relationship with Jesus. That's what gets him out of bed in the morning.
Into making disciples who make disciples. He always follows it on that way. If you say the word disciples, he will salivate and say, "Who make disciples?" That's one of my favorite things about Scott. The other, we have several new staff members. We'll mention a couple of others, but we're talking on our leadership. We have an executive leadership team. I used to call it the ministerial team. And so we've hired two at the executive level. Scott is one, a pastor of discipleship. And then we've hired an executive director, our integrator of ministry and operations, Josh Bunning.
Yeah, Josh is been fantastic coming in and helping us with our organizational structure. If Scott gets out of bed in the morning thinking about how can I disciple people, Josh is also passionate about people, but Josh is so good at just looking at systems and structures and procedures and all these things that, Mike, for both you and I, you as a very vision-oriented person, I think of myself as a creative person. We're like, yeah, but like, let's do the fun stuff. And Josh was like, "No, here's how you get your spinach. That's right.
First, Josh gets out of bed in the morning to integrate gospel and biblical vision for ministry, for disciple making, develop and integrate staff and leadership down to operations and calendars, all into something that is synergized in one direction. So you actually, he's doing his job well if you really haven't gotten to know
That's
Josh.
True.
He's not really designed to be the guy talking on Sunday morning.
That's right. And so what this all boils down to, like you said, Mike, what we want to talk about today is discipleship. And for you, as you have founded and grown this church over all these years, there's been a couple of constant hooks that have been part of Lake Forest for a really long time. One of those, at least since I've been around, and you can tell me because I'm sure it's been way longer than that, is, you mentioned it before, making more and better disciples. That's been a hook in the water the whole time?
The whole time.
That's
yes,
right.
Since our founding, 42 people. In the late 2000s, the Audis, because of culture and some song, we called it Mo Betta.
Mo Betta.
No, not we, I.
You.
And everybody would kind of grin and be like, "Aw, you know, that's cute that he's embarrassing himself that way." But it stuck for a while. Now it sounds dumb, so I stopped. Y'all made me stop saying Mo Betta. But it's still sticky. I mean, you got to admit, right?
I'm not making you stop saying it,
yeah,
for the record.
Because the Great Commission that Jesus said, when the 11 remaining of the apostles were standing around him, as I imagine it, in a semicircle, at his post-resurrection appearance, and he delivered what we understand is his commission to them, and I think it is that monumental, and it's presented in the Gospel of Matthew in a pinnacle moment of his post-resurrection. And they're like, "Well, Jesus, here's again my imagination. What are we supposed to be doing now? You're like, you said you're going to go away and send the Holy Spirit. What now? What, you know? I don't know. Like what?" And he goes, "Go and make disciples of all peoples, teaching them." This is the discipleship part, to obey all I've commanded, and baptizing them, this is the more, make new, more disciples. Don't just teach existing disciples. That's in there. But baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, that means make more. I mean, it was kind of obvious because there was 11 dudes there.
Yeah.
And it's also, if you read the book of Acts, it's obvious that they understood him to mean more disciples and better. That's where that comes from. So a healthy church can tell stories of more disciples and better disciples. There are plenty of churches that emphasize the evangelism side of that. Plenty more churches that only emphasize the disciple making. Like you could go in there and they haven't seen anybody become a Christian in decades. We very much believe that a church should aspire to be a both and an evangelism and discipleship church. And these two hires for now, let me come back down to earth. These two hires at the executive level for us of an executive director and a discipleship pastor are two in particular. Well, the integrator, the executive director is to make it all hum. Scott is the focus upon adult disciple making, the better discipleship. So you may have noticed I told the whole church on one Sunday, but it seems like nobody comes to church every Sunday anymore. Not that my feelings are hurt. Okay, maybe a little bit. But so I don't know who was there or worshiped online, but I. Everybody kind of clapped when I said, hey, my favorite number at the end of quarter one for your, you should know the reality of your church is that adult engagement in disciple making environments has surged by 36% over Q1 the year before. Yes, I'm a pastor who really loves to mine data to know the reality of what God's doing in your church, not just the what our thoughts and feelings are about it. It's very important to me that we make data-driven decisions here, informed by the Holy Spirit, obviously, and led by the Holy Spirit of what to do about that, like when we're informed by data. So the 36% is fantastic. What? God's grown adults hungry to be in disciple-making environments, community groups, men's, women's, age-graded or life station-graded community groups, which is 20-something, Life 2.0, Singles with a Purpose, a couple of others, etc. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, dude, that's because we've now had for 4 months, we've had a fully functioning and fully staffed executive team with a staff, the rest of the staff who are already awesome and the right people in the right seats on the bus. So anyway, that's just a wonderful outcome, and then as Scott in particular has gotten his feet under him, I think there's a number of new initiatives that, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're more leaned in than your average bear of a disciple at Lake Forest. What are the examples of a few new things that they may have been noticing because of Scott starting to get traction?
Yeah, absolutely. I see Scott has really... he's really thinking a lot right now about reinvigorating our community groups. If you've been around here for any amount of time, you know, it has been sometimes hit or miss. Sometimes there's groups that are super open. Some groups have been hanging for a long time. Our men's and our women's groups, especially, he is partnering with Cammie and he is partnering with the men's team to just take what they're doing up to like further next levels.
In that regard, Harrison, we're a low control, a high freedom, low control church. That's the way we are with people who lead ministry here, say in a community group. High freedom, low control. We don't try to tell people what to do in that way. That's the way our family of churches works also, by the way. It's just a hallmark of how we do ministry here. But the weakness of that, we realized we weren't giving training and direction to a lot of our disciple-making leaders, and we owed them that. And Scott, so that's something that you as a ministry partner would not have seen. That's going on behind the scenes. That's been ramping up. Which makes me happy when you think about the 36% growth in involvement in those environments. Also, they're encountering leaders who are more synergized in one direction under a Lake Forest vision, but more importantly, feeling better equipped and cared for and seen and noticed. That's only going to grow. I think you'd see some, obviously there have been a few new things that Scott and then Melissa Alvarez, who is our connector in chief in all adult disciple making environments, the two of them together have been able to facilitate some new things coming out of the ground, particularly like a mentoring initiative among men in our church, a few other things. We don't need to list them all.
Yep.
So that's just, that's happening. Also, just so you know, kind of happening beneath the waterline, Scott's hiring was to also tasked with leading our staff and elders to refresh our whole adult disciple-making pathway and all the details of that. Where have we been weak, or maybe there's one big area that went away during COVID and we didn't realize it until we brought Scott back in. I'll save that for another day. Scott's rebuilding that quietly. That'll come out of the ground in the fall. Yep. In the fall, we'll really reemphasize a refreshed adult discipleship pathway that's hopefully clear and compelling. So just wanted you to know some of those things that are going on beneath the surface.
That's right.
I think back to Josh's work as executive director, we'll just give you one snapshot there. Harrison, you how did you say it a moment ago?
Yeah, I think what Josh has done such a great job of looking in, especially at our kind of behind the scenes systems. And as you said, Mike, you know, we like being, we've grown to be a you know, high freedom kind of, we'll do what we like and we'll figure it out as we go kind of setup. Yeah. And Josh has come in and done a great job.
I sleep better at night because I'm not trying to control exactly what every staff member is doing. And
yeah,
I have the best idea in their ministry.
Exactly. And the reason we brought Josh on and why we're so enthusiastic that he's here, he's doing exactly what we were hoping he would, which is to come in and say, hey, that's great, all you little hippy dippies out there. But like, we need some kind of, we're a big church now. Statistically, most churches in America, I don't think most people realize that most churches across the country are like less than 150 people total.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
It's in like the 90%. We have a ton of people here. We've been very blessed and very, you know, God's had his hand on this church, which we're so thankful for. But with that means as you grow, things just get more complicated because there's more people. There's more, even among, say, our staff team. As our staff team grows, you know, does the left hand know what the right hand is doing all the time, right?
And there's more resources we're accountable to steward well.
Exactly.
And carefully.
So Josh has done a great job with that. One real tangible change that Josh has brought on, one of our favorite things about being a part of our Lake Forest Huntersville staff is that every 2 weeks, on our Monday morning, we get a chance to just get our staff together, have staff meetings. And for a while, that exists as sharing a lot of God stories and doing a pretty
good... We always start with God stories.
Oh, yeah.
Keep going.
Everybody needs to know, involving a lot of strategy. And honestly, sometimes...
Coordination. Yeah.
And there, so Josh has come in and pinpointed and said, hey, you know, a lot of what happens in that staff meeting, I wonder if we can... if we can maybe separate a little bit and redefine the purpose of what our staff meeting could be, because everyone's like, yeah, God stories, getting chances to hang together, getting chances to encourage each other, and now moving into a season where we're going, you know, hey, what Josh is going, what if we take some of the strategy thinking to another spot? And if we're like, hey, we have a chance to get all the staff together in one place, what's the most important thing?
And for example, I appreciate you bringing that. This is a thin slice of one of many things Josh is working on.
Mm-hmm.
But just as one example, and if you're leadership or strategic leader in your environment, you might get the potency of this in the overall. Josh noting, hey, every single person in our staff is not involved in ministry decisions that get on the calendar and making sure that next October every ministry hasn't scheduled some big thing on the same Friday night. That's actually, there's only like 6, 7, 8 calendar holders, ministry decision makers. What if we offline that? so that Harrison's not sitting there twiddling his thumbs, or me, Mike. I'm in the back of my mind, I'm like, dude, I need to be working on sermon right now. I do not need to be thinking about calendar conflicts of ministries I'm not in charge of.
Exactly.
Taking that offline to a coordination meeting so that, and now you keep going here, so that the all staff meeting can, that's expensive real estate to have all the staff, every one of them in a meeting for 2 hours. What's most important to happen there? And where we, where, what did we decide is most important that's changing?
Yeah, just as we are putting a call out to our entire church to say, hey, we're going to emphasize growing as disciples of Jesus. We're going to emphasize like practicing the presence of the Holy Spirit. So we're telling our church that. We're bringing that into our staff team as well. And part of the change that we're making here over the next months and moving forward is going, hey, when we get our staff together, let's spend some time worshiping together. Let's spend some time. Andrew has a great resource we're going to go through that's just that's just training and coaching our ministry leaders on how to be better ministry leaders, like how to lead people well and what that looks like from the Bible and examples that we see, actually going through a resource provided by our denomination, the EPC, the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. So yeah, we're just going, hey, what if we did less strategy and a little bit more discipleship, a little more worshiping together, a little bit more training together, so that over a handful of months, doing calendar stuff is great and that needs to happen. But like you said, can that happen somewhere else? And with that prime time real estate, that best spot, man, what if we just grow together as disciples of Jesus? So
what if we invest in the spiritual and leadership development of our staff with that core time? And sometimes we might even go old school and call it staff chapel.
Staff chapel.
Man, that's crazy.
And
ancient future innovation.
It is. The thing I'm excited about, I know you are too, Mike, is that the downstream effects of that. You know, we talk from time to time around here as a staff team, as being leaders of this church. It is a fact that you cannot lead somebody to a place where you haven't been, or that you aren't, or you don't know how to go. So yeah, we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can. If we're going to ask you, the people of Lake Forest, hey, we think it's important for you to grow as disciples, we're like, yeah, well, let's work on that too.
Yeah. Now, not to mention, we also are grateful for other new staff here in the last couple of months. Brenda,
yep.
It is really paying attention to our families with new babies. Brian, facilities manager. We're just very thankful for other new staff. But today we wanted to highlight those additions to our executive staff and highlight for you, ministry partners, folks leaned in at Lake Forest Huntersville, some of the concrete ways that is intended to make a long-term difference in our making of more and better disciples. We are thinking about this, and what we all see and experience together on Sundays is the exuberance of worship together, teaching God's Word. I'm really excited about this Sunday sermon on rescue and redemption by Jesus, by the way, and how we're going to end that. But just wanted to give you all this snapshot. Let me finish with this, Harrison. I think this might be helpful. I just got a report this morning that when we launched Trinity Forest Church back in the fall in Concord, which is doing great, by the way. We're just so proud of Andy Cornett and that launch team and what they've done. Part of our generosity as a congregation is not just sending financial support to pay for the staff and the startup of a new church for the first several years out of all of our giving. So if you give at Lake Forest, you're a church planting person at our church planting church. But we gave away people. We gave away some of our best people to go serve there, and it was just quantified for me. Since we're talking about back channel kind of stuff here today, Harrison, the people who went gave $61,000 to our church ministry budget in the previous years per year, in the sense of they were generous people. You like, we gave away our best, some of our best, which is awesome. And number two, that's one reason why when you see that our giving in this first quarter, it grew by 1.5% over the first quarter of the year before. Which is awesome that like it grew by 1.5%, including replacing a certain amount of that giving by those families who went away. Praise God for that. God keeps me. When we send out new people to plant new churches, it creates more room again here for us to reach new people. That's happened sending out hundreds to start the Davidson and the Denver churches in particular. So we've grown through backfilling in that way, through opening up new seats. But also, on the other hand, we've staffed up to be a more potent disciple-making church in the future and really realize more of our potential as this zip code continues to grow. God sends more people who need to know Jesus and need to grow in Jesus. And so we've invested in staffing up in these ways and some others we could talk about. But that means this year's ministry budget is an aggressive one. And so although that giving has grown by 1.5%, even in the face of losing that $61,000 of annual giving, it is a bit behind what the ultimate, you know, like if you just percentage out for the first quarter, what the ultimate goal is to grow our giving to by the end of the year. And so it's just, and at the same time, our Lenten generosity project, you guys went nuts over that, and we gave $45,000 to serve vulnerable children through our partner ministries in other parts of the world. Praise God for this generous church. But I just say that to you as ministry partners, man, this is part of the impact of the disciple-making church that we're all part of. This is what motivates Angie and I to give a progressive tithe, the tithe plus. And so just pray for those new folks who come to begin to start giving early in their discipleship journey here at Lake Forest, as well as consider each of our own giving as we get into the year. So this was a unique subject that we chose today, Harrison.
I like it, though. I like it, though. We appreciate you guys always for listening in. Love hearing from you all on Sunday morning throughout the week who are checking in on us. It is a joy to partner in this ministry with you all in all the ways that you do. We will catch you next time on the Ask LFC podcast.